My name is Dennis Clay, and I couldn't help during the Lord's table that, if you don't know it, we have a little dog here, a little therapy dog, and I think he's now a Christian because he was looking at that bread pretty good. Tonight I want to talk to you about that word up there, tetelestai. Now, I know some of you probably think, I know Joel, you probably think that's the new Ford coming out next year, you know, the 2014 Tetelestai. I don't know, Randy, you probably think it's that new Italian dish you're serving in the restaurants, you know. Hey, honey, let's go for some Tetelestai and a bed of linguine over here. I don't, Nick's probably convinced it's the new Russian hockey star coming to play for the Leafs, Sergei Tetelestai. Well, if you thought that or anything else, you were wrong. Tetelestai is a Greek word. And it's not just any Greek word. In fact, now get a load of this. You're going to think I'm some smart, as they say in Cape Breton. It is a indicative perfect passive for the word telos. And telos means finished or ended. But a indicative perfect passive, or a perfect tense for that word, means a whole lot more. In fact, the definition of tetelestai is, in Greek it implies that something has come to an end. It is finished in the full, perfected, accomplished in the full, and it will endure on and on. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a whole pile of English words that make up tetelestai. In the modern analogies, the only thing I could come up with was, imagine you're climbing Mount Everest, and of course you can't do it in a day, so to get to the summit you have day camps, and you climb from one camp to another on different altitudes, and if you climb from, say, camp 2 to camp 3, when you got there you would say, telos, I finished my climb. But when you got to the summit, you would say, tetelestai, I've accomplished what I set out to do. I have finished. This will endure. This will endure forever in my memory. So it means a whole lot more. And in fact, back in the days of Jesus, it was used, say, as a servant. A servant would get a job or a task from his master. And he would work hard to please his master. And he wouldn't cut any corners. And he wouldn't shave anything off it. He would just make sure it was perfect to his satisfaction. And when it was done, he would go to his master and he said, tetelestai, the job you gave me is complete. It's perfect. And the master wouldn't even have to second guess. He knew it would be good. On the same vein, the Jewish father at Passover would walk through the flock to pick that perfect lamb for the sacrifice. And he would pick them up. And they had to be unblemished. They had to be perfect. They had to be male. And when he finally found the one he wanted, he would hold it up. And he would say, tetelestai, no other lamb will do. This will do. I have accomplished what I set out to do. The high priest in the temple, once a year, would take the blood from a sacrificed animal. And he would go into that innermost part of the temple in Jerusalem, and it was the Holy of Holies. And you see, God loved visual aids, and he used visual aids right from the get-go for the people to be pointed to him. And it also, the visual aids led right up to Jesus on the cross. But he would sprinkle the lamb, or the blood of the sacrifice, on this cover of the Ark of the Covenant. And that cover was called the Atonement Cover. And again, the visual aid was that when God looked down at the sins of his people, he couldn't see them because of the blood of the sacrifice. And that atoned for the sins. And the high priest would say, tetelestai, this is perfect. I've accomplished the sacrifice. Now the best one, and they've actually found documents that back this up, was back in the day of Jesus, if you owed money, and you had trouble paying it, you were probably sent off to prison. And outside the cell, they would put a certificate of debt. And when your family or your friends finally paid it off, they would stamp tetelestai on it, which meant, basically, paid in full. this debt is finished. So we had four things that, just as examples, that were an example of the word tetelestai. And you may wonder, well, what's that got to do with Jesus? And, well, it goes right to Jesus on the cross. In the Gospel of John, tetelestai was only used twice, not only in that gospel, but in the whole New Testament. Tetelestai was only used twice. And it was both used in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, and only two verses apart. And it was both in the dying moments of Jesus. And the first one was in verse 28, and it said, knowing that all was now completed. Completed. Sounds so simple in English, but it was tetelestai in Greek, and we know what it meant. And then two verses later, he said, in a loud voice, Jesus cried out, it is finished. And he didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished, tetelestai. And what did he mean? When he cried that out, he cried out, Father, the task you've given me is completed. It's been perfected. It's been accomplished in the full. He said, the plan you put in place from the beginning after man fell from your grace has now been completed right here on this cross. Oh man, big stuff. And like the Father picking up that lamb, Jesus hung in the air like that lamb, the Lamb of God, the ultimate lamb, like Doug said. And he gave up his life, and he was perfect and unblemished. Tetelestai. And like the high priest that sprinkles the blood of the sacrifice on the atonement cover, Jesus Christ, the highest of high priests, gave up his blood in torrents that day to atone for our sins. Tetelestai. Oh, best of all, when Jesus yelled out, it is finished, tetelestai, sin debts were paid for all of mankind. Now, you may think, well, is he paying off debts? Well, I got a student loan or I got a mortgage. Oh, man, he's paying off debts that make those look like nothing. He's paying off the sin debt of every human on earth, and they're even born with it. And you've noticed, it doesn't take much for a little guy, still in diapers, still going in his drawers, and you say, don't touch that, and you look around, boom, he touches. Because we all have a sin debt, and we're born with it. And that sin debt prevents us from getting to God. And it'd be equivalent if God was on a cliff over here, and we were on a cliff over here, and there was a big gap in the middle, a big pit. And we tried to bridge that gap. And we try. We try with our own ideas. We go, God is a forgiving God, and he's a very loving God. So therefore, when I die, he's going to go, forget about your sins, I'm forgiving and loving. Come on over, buddy. Give you a noogie on the way. But I don't think he will. And we try to do it with good deeds. And I fell into that. I mean, I was a cop for 31 years in a big city, and I protected people, and I may even saved a couple. And I thought, well, my good deeds for 31 years has got to outweigh those couple of 100,000 sins I got posted on my sin debt. I said, it got to. But it doesn't. We can't bridge that gap because God can't be in the presence of sin. So then we think, wow. And we've done this since the fall of man. Let's bridge the gap by making up our own religion. That'll be easy enough. And we mold our own version of what a God is. And we think, and we've heard this, all religions point to God. I don't want to break anybody's heart here tonight, but all religions don't point to God. There is only one person that points to God, and it's Jesus Christ. In fact, he even said just a few hours before he was hammered to that nail, or to that cross, he even said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father. And so it's not other gods. Some religions have thousands of gods. Some religions have a moon and a sun god. Some religions, their God think it's cool to strap a bomb to your back and blow up a bus or fly a plane into a high building. And that God, our God, the one and only God, the Almighty One, just needs Jesus to bridge that gap. And that's what he did right after he said, Tetelestai. And back in March of 2005, at 2:30 in the afternoon, sitting at my table in the house, and I said, Jesus, I've heard enough. I'm going to put my trust in you. I don't know Abraham from Moses if I tripped over him. I don't know all the stories in the Bible, but this is what I do know and what I do believe. I do believe that you died on the cross for me. Even if I was it in the world, he would have done that. I know that in 3 days, you rose again to seal the deal. I know that, Lord. And Jesus, I know that I have amassed a pretty good sin debt. And when I said that, when I believed it in my heart, bam, Tetelestai, written all over that debt. Paid in full. It's gone. And, you know, don't think that I haven't sinned since then. Don't think that we're all, like if I had a halo and wings, my halo would be down here and there would be feathers all over this stage up here. Because I do. But you see, God, Jesus, gave us a gift. And that was it. The gift of grace. Unbelievable grace. And Jesus gave us another gift. Because I'd love to go tripping across the cross and bridge the gap and be with God for eternity. But Jesus says, whoa, Dennis, he says, hold on. You know, your life is just brief. It's just a drop of water in the Bay of Fundy compared to eternity. And he says, you know, when that big one hits or that stroke blows a vessel in the brain, you know, or the logging truck crosses the road or my wife hits me over the head with a frying pan. Don't get any ideas. He said, then there will be plenty of time. And he says, in fact, I'll be on the other side of the cross to grab you and to hold you and to keep you in my arms for eternity. Can we even get our heads around this, folks? But Jesus says, before you do that, Dennis, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go back. And he says, I just want you to tell as many people as you can how to have their sin debt paid in full. He says, just by your own ability. You know, you don't have to be a wizard and a smart Bible scholar. Just tell people how to get their sin debt. You owe it to them, he said. And I thought, yeah, why not? Why not? And, you know, we saw that last slide there. Can you put that one back on again, Don, if it's not too much? No? You know, when we see Jesus. Now, that's just an actor, as we know, from a movie. But we realize that, you know, it's documented that Jesus was whipped and how he was whipped. And it's documented he had that much damage to him and he suffered probably more. And what we don't have here is we don't have the noise of the people, either the people laughing at him, people taunting him, or the mourning of the women as they're crying out, watching him suffer. We don't have that. We don't have that. What we have is a picture of horror. We have a picture of agony, suffering. But like Doug said, we have unimaginable picture of love and a picture of grace, indescribable mercy right there hanging on the cross, folks. And the Romans, when they took him, when they finally, Pilate decided to string him up, get rid of him, they took him and they whipped him like that. They whipped him to shreds. And they banged a crown of thorns on his head and banged it into his skull. And they even made him carry his own mode of execution down through the streets of Jerusalem, out the gates, and up the hill of Golgotha, where they stretched him and they nailed him to the cross and they hung him up to die. And it was business as usual. This was just another day at the office. In fact, so much so that they just had the boys throwing dice for his clothing. This, to them, was just another dead Jew, and we've won this battle. And the Sanhedrin and the teachers of the law and the Pharisees and the upper echelon of the Jewish society who hated him. For 3 years they were following him around, plotting and planning how to kill him and get rid of him. And, you know, even though they knew all the prophecies written down in the Old Testament, hundreds of prophecies in minute detail that talked about him, that pointed to him. And they knew those prophecies, and they missed them. They missed the 20 prophecies of him being on the cross for those 6 hours. And they missed it. They were blinded by their own personal greed and personal endeavors. And they watched him. They watched him being led, whipped to shreds, carrying his own cross. They watched him leading out the gate of Jerusalem, up the hill of Golgotha. And they watched him stretched out on a cross and hung up to die. And they loved it. And they thought, we're finally going to get rid of this guy. We're finally going to get rid of this guy for doing miracles and healing people on Sabbaths. That's all. A guy who was encroaching on their little empires. We're going to get rid of him. And they stood back and they laughed. And they said, well, we won. We won this one. And even Satan himself knew about Jesus. He knew about Jesus coming when God told him in the Garden of Eden that long ago. And Satan has been following every one of those messianic prophecies. And he followed Jesus when he was born in a manger and when he grew up and when he started his ministry. And he followed Jesus to where the Romans were whipping him. And where the Romans were putting the thorns on his head, and where they let him down, he was following and keeping step every inch of the way. He was following him when he was led out the gate and up the hill of Golgotha. And he watched and probably even wanted to hold the nails when they hammered them home and hung him up to die. And I, in my mind's eye, have Satan even leaning over the crossbeam, leaning over, listening to the labored breaths of Jesus as he was ready to go. And he was thinking, I've won. This Messiah is mine. And then, in a loud voice, Jesus cried out, it is finished. Tetelestai. And the Romans, you could probably hear their heads all turning at once, looking at the cross, because they knew what that word meant. And in fact, it's documented a Roman centurion, a guy in charge of 100 men, who didn't get that to that position by being dumb. He even stood back and said, truly, this must be the Son of God. He knew. The Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, oh, they must have reeled when he said, Tetelestai, it is finished. They must have just been floored. What do you mean he's declaring victory? What do you mean? What's going on? And I bet Satan came down off of that crossbeam at 80 miles an hour straight into the ground. And he was hoofing her backwards, getting away from Jesus. Because he knew when he uttered those words, Jesus was the victor and he was the loser. And because of that, we're all winners. And all you have to do is say yes. All you have to do, he's done it all, folks. He's done it all. And all we have to do is go, I accept that. I can handle that. Please, Jesus. How great is this? You know, when Jesus speaks, folks, we got to listen. Jesus spoke and people were healed. Jesus spoke and people were healed in another town. Jesus spoke and demons fled from the sound of his voice. Jesus spoke and even fish obeyed him. Jesus speaks, you got to listen. Jesus spoke at the beginning of creation. He spoke this world into existence. He spoke the universe and all the galaxies. And he named them when he spoke. Jesus speaks, we've got to listen. And when Jesus said, it is finished, tetelestai, paid in full, we've got to listen, folks. Our whole eternity hangs in the balance. Thank you for listening tonight. I'm going to close in prayer, folks. And let's bow our heads. Just stay seated. Folks, in fact, if you want to take that opportunity tonight, if you want to take the opportunity to embrace Jesus and surrender yourself into His nail-driven hands. If you want to have your sin debt stamped to Tetelestai, paid in full, I'll get you to put your hands up if you want to make that decision here tonight. If you are here and you've walked 30 steps forward but 150 back in your walk with Jesus, and you want to recommit your life, we heard that with the testimony, just put your hand up here tonight to recommit to Jesus Christ. Thank you, folks. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, wonderful Counselor, we love you so much for what you did on that cross, Lord. We thank you for paying our sin debt. We thank you for being that ultimate sacrifice. We thank you for shedding your blood to atone for our sins, Lord. And we thank you so much for being the only bridge that can get to God for eternity, Lord. We thank you so much for anybody here who has had a seed planted in their heart, whether it was from the music or the scripture or the message or the communion. Folks, we just want it to grow. Have that seed grow. We thank you, we honor you, and we glorify you, and we love you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.